Hello, everyone in Marcham. It's lovely to be with you this morning. This is Mary Embleton. Though for those of you who remember me, you'll know that I was at All Saints for the last 20 years in Marcham. And then last summer, I moved up here to the Isle of Mull, where I now make my home off the northwest coast of Scotland. I wish I could be with you in person this morning, but it's lovely to have the opportunity to speak through a recording. And I hope that you will see this as like a love letter from a friend a long way away. So I'm honoured this morning to have been asked to join in your short study of John 17, and I will be talking about the last part of that. We're in the upper room with Jesus and the disciples after the Last Supper, after the washing of the disciples' feet. And Jesus turns to prayer, and it is the longest recorded prayer that we have in the Bible, between Jesus and his Father. And we're listening to what's on Jesus' heart as death approaches. We can imagine that this is a time that focuses utterly his priorities, the things that he cares about most. And he's praying aloud so that his disciples can hear and know, and so that we can also know what meant so much to him. I wonder what we would pray about in the same sort of situation, knowing that death, a terrible death, was approaching. What would be most on our heart? Well, as you've heard over the last couple of weeks, we can sum up what Jesus says to his Father in 3 points. Firstly, as you've already heard, he prays that he would be glorified. Secondly, that the disciples would be sanctified and protected, kept safe, kept holy. And finally, as we learn this morning, that the disciples and all Christians subsequently would be unified. So, firstly, that Jesus would be glorified, that his followers would be sanctified, and that we would all be unified. It's mind-blowing to think that at that moment, Jesus prayed for every single Christian there's ever been. So that includes you and me. And he was praying for the church in Marcham and the church up here on Mull. And in the course of the 4 verses that I'm going to concentrate on, which are verses 20 to 23, he mentions unity 3 times. It's clearly vital to him. So in verse 21, he says, he prays that they, that's us, will all be one. Then in verse 22, that they may be one as we are one, meaning as he and the Father are one. Then in verse 23, that they, that's us, will experience perfect unity. Why is this so important, Jesus? Well, the church then, as now, is Jesus' only tool on earth to represent him, to be him to the world. And because of that, It's always been Satan's strategy to destroy the church. Remember in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, it says that the dragon, that's Satan, has declared war on the woman and her children. So, against the church through the ages. And how better to do that than to destroy her from within through division? It will diffuse her power, it will undermine her message, and will sabotage her image. So unity is big stuff. So I'm not going to talk particularly about ecumenical unity, bringing the different denominations together, although that's obviously really important. I'd like to talk about local unity within the body of Christ, just with the fellow Christians that we are put together with week in, week out. And that's not because I think that Marcham has some terrible problem with disunity. I remember it always as being a remarkably loving place. And gossip and backbiting were never a big thing, I'm glad to say. And also, I think that the range of services that you have in Marcham, contemporary, traditional, family style, is a recognition of the fact that we are not all the same and we will have different styles and tastes. And so let's all continue to respect those whose style in Christian music or worship may be very different to ours. So not only tastes, but we will also have different views on various subjects. And I'd like you to take a moment, wherever you're listening to this, just to think of what kind of issues can crop up and be potentially divisive in a church. What comes to mind? Well, in any church, it might be issues around gender or sexuality, on the one hand, or church furniture, how you arrange the church building on the other. These kind of issues can be difficult, really difficult, and in some cases can rip church communities apart. I think a real key to maintaining unity, given that we will have different opinions, is how we talk about those who are different to us, who may annoy us. So what is Christian unity? It's not uniformity. It's not all being the same. Nor is it unanimity, thinking the same. We can't expect that other Christians will all be like us or think like us. We're not called to be the same. You only have to go on pilgrimage to the Holy Land and see all the other Christians from all around the world who look completely different and do things completely different to oneself to think, wow, heaven is going to be one diverse place. We're not called to be the same, but we are called to be one. One in heart and faith and purpose. So how does that happen? It's clearly not just about being nice to one another. Jesus explains this, that it comes from being in a living relationship with him and the Father, as he was in such a relationship with his Father. Friends, this unity springs from our individual and corporate daily closeness with the Lord. And it has a powerful purpose. Our unity gives credibility to our message about Jesus and leads others to believe, allows others to believe. It's more powerful than we know. So, returning finally to this prayer of Jesus for unity amongst his followers, has it been answered? In the very early church, it was. Think of that beautiful description of the first Christian community in Acts 2. But then, as the number of believers multiplied, already by Acts 6, there's squabbling between the Hebrew-speaking believers and the Greek-speaking believers over their respective widows and how much food they were getting. And clearly, when we see what St. Paul was writing to the churches in Corinth and in Philippi, squabbles between the believers were clearly a big problem. So here is a prayer of Jesus himself that has not yet been fully answered, it would seem. But we also know from Hebrews 7 that Jesus continues to intercede for his church. If we have any struggles in our Christian relationships, we can take strength from that. And I think we can also take guidance in the words of St. Augustine. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. So, as I leave you with one of my favourite panoramas here on the island of Mull, you may like to pray with me the words of St. Francis. Lord, make me a channel of your peace.